Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Katie Balls and Isabel Hardman. So today the UK government met with the EU negotiators to continue the next stage of the Northern Ireland Protocol discussions. Katie, can you tell us what's been going on in the conversation there? Because we've not heard much about it recently.
The word from Brussels is that an EU legal action over the UK's alleged breach of the Northern Ireland deal would continue as long as necessary, but they're going to intensify talks on the issue. Now, in terms of whether a resolution is in sight, I think, as a general, if both sides are planning to keep talking, that is not a breakdown in talks, not to state the obvious. But I think when it comes to what the UK government wants is, ultimately, when it comes to the Northern Ireland Protocol, I think that the best way out for Boris Johnson in a way is if the EU will drop or ease checks in relation to the Northern Ireland Protocol. Now, I think the EU are fairly reluctant to do that, but that the two sides are still talking means there is potentially a chance for that to happen. I think that one of the issues that Boris Johnson faces is, in a way, this is really the most obvious and perhaps one of the only clear ways to slightly ease the situation in terms of how Brexit is aggravating it. Because we have a situation where Boris Johnson, I think, is such a distrusted figure in Northern Ireland because of his trip to DUP conference where he said there'd be no Irish Sea border. Now, you can debate whether it's a full Irish Sea border, but there is clearly more than he promised that is now in existence. And therefore, I think on the UK side, I think lots of ministers think that it actually wouldn't be particularly helpful for Boris Johnson to go out there. So the best, I think, way for them to ease it is to reach this agreement, but it's clearly going to take more work to get there.
Isabel, in the last few days, the violence has got better in Belfast. So is that it for now, or do deeper problems other than Brexit need to be solved?
Well, as we've covered as ever incredibly well on Coffee House and in the magazine, there are deeper issues that beyond Brexit that relate to sort of gangsterism and the grooming of young people within Northern Ireland, which mean that people are very nervous about this summer, which is when violence tends to really intensify. And I think the violence has meant that there is an interest for both sides to maintain these talks and to keep these talks productive, just to show willing and to show that they are taking the situation in Northern Ireland seriously, particularly given that one of the factors, as we've said, in that violence has been that the frustration on the unionist and the loyalist side at the checks that goods are having to go through, and the fact that they can't buy the goods that they were previously completely used to buying. So I think there's that. And I think, as we've also said on this podcast before, there is obviously an onus on the British government to take these talks seriously, to keep going with these talks, even if, as we've had today, get that line that we've heard so many times over the past few years, that they've been productive talks, but issues still remain because of the sense of betrayal, particularly in the loyalist communities within Northern Ireland, that Boris Johnson's promises that he was not able to keep have ended up creating.
And meanwhile, the latest skeleton to have come out of the Greensill closet came out earlier today. Katie, what's been going on there?
So clearly the Greensill scandal has cast a wider light on lobbying in general. Now, in terms of, I think, the civil service element we've been talking about on the podcast previously, now there's another civil servant who had, on the surface, unlikely combination of working for Greensill and also the civil service. But I think one of the stories which is really leading the news agenda today relates to Matt Hancock. And this is that the health secretary owns shares in a company which is approved as a potential supplier for NHS trusts in England. Now, I think this may have emerged regardless of the Greensill scandal, but I think when we're talking about vested interests and Tory sleaze, we now have a situation where lots of things are ultimately feeding into a general narrative. Now, the health secretary, for example, said that he has acted entirely properly, but Labour said there was cronyism in the heart of this government. And I think it just hits on this general theme, which is Labour really clearly wants to carve this narrative of Tory sleaze. And yes, Greensill is separate to this, but I think in terms of the overarching narrative that Keir Starmer and his shadow cabinet want to achieve, they will all link in. And how much damage does it do? Do people pay so much attention to a single story? Perhaps not. But if you can land enough blows, I think the idea is it is a general sense or an affiliation with the Tory government that will be in the long term damaging to them.
Isabel, obviously this also comes as one of the Crown representatives, David Brearwood, was also found to have worked with Greensill and in the Cabinet Office as a consultant at least. But none of this seems to be cutting through, at least according to a poll today showing a Tory
lead. Yes, so there is a poll from YouGov with the Tories on 43% and Labour down at 29%. And this is, you know, just one poll and so on, but it does reflect a wider trend, a wider sense in British politics, that despite the Conservatives operating in a very difficult landscape still, the Labour Party is just failing to cut through, whether it's on Greensill, whether it's on the COVID death toll, whether it's on all sorts of different issues that that Keir Starmer has been trying to work away getting some traction on. The Labour Party is not managing to do that, and that's something that will obviously add to the voices within the Labour Party who've been criticising Keir Starmer. And I think it's important to say that it's not just disgruntled Corbyn fans who are critical of Starmer. There is concern across the party's spectrum about the way Labour is managing things. I think there's a real fear in the Labourites who I've spoken to, both backbench and frontbench, that the party is just being sort of tossed around a bit by social media tides and by things that seem expedient to oppose or that seem so inevitable that Keir Starmer thinks that it's a good idea to call for them, even though it's actually already been briefed to the newspapers that they're going to happen. And the party doesn't look as though it really has an anchor at the moment, and as though it's just bobbing along on rough seas. And that's a tricky place for the party to be. Now, if you talk to people around Starmer, they'll say, well, look, you know, we are still rebuilding a shattered party and we've got so much to do internally. We've got to, the phrase that they always use is, we've got to earn the right to be heard. And so, you know, big policy propositions aren't really the thing that we should be doing at the moment. Now, that's fine, but it's not really about big policy propositions. It's just about being an opposition that makes sense and that is able to spell out what it stands for in the decisions it takes on legislation. So we've talked a lot about the bill that limits the rights to protest that's going through the Commons. Labour has got itself into a pretty difficult situation by saying it's opposing that bill because there are lots of things in there that a party that wanted to be tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime, would normally support. And that's something that is causing consternation within the party as well.
Isabel and Katie, thanks very much for joining. And do join us again for our next episode tomorrow, where we'll be talking about why Labour is falling behind just so much.